Hey there, welcome to our very first podcast as the Marvel Bunch.
This is your podcast for all things MCU. We're your hosts. I'm Reagan.
I'm Riley.
Welcome to the Marvel Bunch.
Yay. Okay, so first we're going to hit you with some little MCU news.
All right, first thing, before episode 5 this week, we're recording this the day episode 5 came out, we have had a week of WandaVision leaks.
Boy.
Quite a few WandaVision leaks. Starting with some easy leaks that we can get into. As a disclaimer, we will not be spoiling anything. Neither of us have really seen these leaks.
Yes, I have not at all, so.
And then I have only seen these first two leaks we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Minimates leak, which is a toy company, and then Funko Pop leaks. Both like genre of leak, toy leaks, you know, figurine leaks, they're kind of common. I wouldn't say that the Funko Pop leaks are anything that you wouldn't expect. If you wish to go find those, you won't be spoiled. The Minimate leaks, however, they seem to have spoiled something very big. We have since gotten a disclaimer from the company that produces Minimates. Wow. Minimates, that these leaks are not authentic. Is this true? Who knows? Probably. Don't see why they would lie, except, I mean, maybe to save their butts. But, you know. So, are these leaks authentic? Maybe not. But the other leaks that we got. I haven't seen these, but I do know that at least one of them exists. We had, like, clips of scenes.
Mm.
And there was quite a bit there.
Mm-hmm.
According to things that I've heard, people have told me. These leaks supposedly span over episodes 5 and 6,
mm-hmm.
but, these were pretty big leaks.
Yeah.
Good length of time in these clips. Apparently, there was a really important one that I never saw, so don't trust me on this, but there was a one that apparently spoiled something pretty big, and then one that spoiled another thing that was pretty big, but I don't think anything that anyone was not speculating on already. If what I've heard is true. But, I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so definitely, if you are watching / listening to this before you see episode 6 and you do not want to be spoiled, it's just a little warning if you haven't heard.
Yes.
To be aware. Don't click on any clips that you know are not from Marvel themselves, because they might be spoily.
Yes, and be careful, careful, careful on Twitter. They were everywhere for a while. They're still there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talking about them as often. But, we're recording this, obviously, after episode 5 is already out.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make any promises that there aren't going to be more this week.
Yes.
So just keep your eyes peeled if you don't want to be spoiled, avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
We
will not be talking about them specifically so we don't spoil y'all.
Yeah, and we don't really want to be spoiled either. So
yes.
So, if you guys want to hear someone talk about the leaks, I suggest you find that somewhere on YouTube, another podcast. We will not be discussing that.
Yes. Okay, some more news that is actually rumors is that apparently there might be some new trailers during the Super Bowl for Marvel, for probably specifically Loki, the Falcon and Winter Soldier, and Black Widow, which I'm super excited for, so definitely either watch the Super Bowl or record it so you can just find those trailers real quick, which is what I will be doing. I'm not much of a football fan, so.
And so the final piece of news that we have is a little bit more of a general MCU discussion. Black Widow delays.
Oh.
So, on the topic of the Super Bowl, last Super Bowl we got a Black Widow trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to come out in, what, May
2020? Yes, I think so, May 2020.
And it has since come and gone. Obviously, COVID did delay it.
Stupid COVID.
But not just once. It has officially been delayed, I believe, twice now.
Oh, yes. Twice. I think.
Maybe
probably.
More.
Maybe.
It has been delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do we think?
Well, I think it's very sad. I'm really excited for Black Widow, seeing another front woman lead, which would be really exciting, especially because we know Nat a little bit, so we'll get more about her.
And we get Jack Schaefer again. I believe she's writing both
WandaVision
and Black Widow?
Right.
I could be wrong.
Right. Yes, and it'll be really interesting seeing her past with Clint, possibly Bucky, and just the Red Room and everything, which I've been super excited and wanting to know more. But also I've heard that either it might be delayed again, which really wouldn't be surprising with COVID, but also that they might be doing some hybrid release thing with streaming and maybe in the movie theaters. But I think it's an interesting discussion, because if you just solely stream, you might not make as much money, which for Marvel, you know, for their big productions, it's important that they make money. But also, if you do a movie theater release, it's kind of saying, hey guys, go to the movie theaters, when and COVID's still happening here in the US.
And it's still going to be difficult to make up that money.
It definitely is.
And, you know, I've been looking at this, I've been thinking about it. This is such a hard discussion, because obviously you also want to give Scarlett Johansson, like, the release that she deserves. She's been, like, the front runner woman of the MCU since Iron Man 2.
Yes.
I remember when I saw the Avengers for the first time, and I mean probably Iron Man 2, I don't have as great a memory of the Iron Man movies, but, you know, I walked out of the Avengers, I looked at my dad, and I was like, Dad, I want a Black Widow movie.
Oh, yes.
And every year since then, I have just been like, I want a Black Widow movie. Mm-hmm. I want to see Black Widow. So it's like, obviously, this is a big deal.
It is, especially after her death in Endgame. We know we want more. We want to see, you know, the last bits of her as we can.
Yes, and so, you know, heartbreaking if it gets delayed again. Difficult conversation, because Marvel is first and foremost business, and we want to give all respect to Scarlett Johansson as her last hurrah.
Yes.
Possibly as Natasha Romanoff.
Yes.
You know, moving right ahead, we are going to get into the topic of this week, which is WandaVision.
Yay!
So, we're obviously a little bit behind with releasing these WandaVision-themed episodes, as 4 episodes have already come out.
Yes.
We're just going to start with our own personal, non-spoiler reviews of the series so far. So, if you're wanting to avoid spoilers, this part is for you. You can just hear what we think. No conversation about the plot. Mm-hmm. Riley, tell me what you think.
I think it's fantastic, especially because in the beginning when they released this in Comic-Con, I was very...
Hold up.
Sorry, Rickon's dog is barking. Okay. Is he done? Okay, I think he's done. But... He says hi, guys.
He does. But really, in reality, it's probably my dad bothering him.
He's very excited about WandaVision.
As are we. Okay.
Yeah.
Here you go.
So, I remember when it first kind of came out in Comic-Con, I was a little wary about just the horror aspect, because me, myself, I'm not a horror person, but also Marvel's never done anything like that before. And also, I mean, I liked Wanda, obviously, having this powerful, I would argue the most powerful, Avenger, but, you know, I didn't really think much of her because she wasn't too big in the movies. But now that I've seen it, it's insane, especially coming just from an audience perspective of seeing it. The cinematography is so bizarre and insane for a TV show. In episode 4 specifically, I won't get into all of it, but it looks like a movie. It's insane. And then you think of the props and all of the things that are involved that are probably pretty expensive, and just the amount of production that they're doing is amazing. I highly recommend to anybody.
Yes. And so, for me, as Riley knows, and as you guys are about to find out, I love Wanda.
Not just love, she's obsessed.
Most relatable character in my book.
Yes.
You know, this might not age well. Me saying that might not age well.
Maybe not.
But, you know, regardless, I stand by it. But, you know, I still remember when they announced it, or, like, it came out that we were getting, like, a Wanda-centric show around Comic-Con of, oh gosh, what, 2019?
I guess. Oh, yeah, because it was supposed to release in 2020, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to release, yeah, like, in October.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but, so probably early 2020, later 2019, maybe?
Yeah. The San Diego Comic-Con, though. Mm-hmm. And I was absolutely thrilled. So, I'm a big, like, Scarlet Witch fan in the... And obviously, she's not been referred to as a Scarlet Witch in the movies, but in the comic books, I love her in the comic books. You know, I was so hyped about the show. And then, you know, we hear more about what it's about, and I was like, I don't know how in the world this is gonna, like, sell. Like, I still don't even know what's happening.
It's doing well, though. so that's what matters.
I think, you know, Riley talked a lot about, like, this production, like, the value of this show. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's the most expensive TV show ever produced.
I would, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
But, I wanted to, like, just put a little spotlight on, oh my goodness, the range of Elizabeth Olsen
my goodness.
And Paul Bettany.
Now, fantastic.
Like, you know, obviously, throughout the decades, the way we've had to act has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
especially
both,
women,
yes,
so.
We both have experience in, like, theater and acting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, a very prevalent thing to, like, see this. They have let them explore such a range in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And they have killed it. They have wonderful chemistry. Their delivery is perfect. Comedic timing, mm-hmm. you know, out of this world. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Not just Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany. Catherine Hahn and Tatiana Paris are, like, standouts of the
they
show.
They really are.
Like, Catherine Hahn, like, comedically steals every scene she's in. She is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I love her in Parks and Rec. I've seen her in a few things. She is just mm-hmm. hilarious, and she's doing even better here. I hope they continue to utilize her. I love the show so far. And another aspect of this is, like, once, yes, the production design, beautiful, but also there's something about, like, the art of them being completely, like, honest and raw with the source material of, like, a mm-hmm. 50s sitcom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I mean, I don't know too much about sitcoms, but the fact that I can kind of look it up and search and see the similarities with the show, with the shows, and also just the, even just something little as the speech that Elizabeth Olsen does is fantastic. It changes with every single episode, and we still have, like, 5 more episodes to see, and I'm so excited to see her range and Paul Bettany's range, too. It's, ugh.
And I love the meta aspect of Elizabeth Olsen being in a sitcom.
Yes.
With her sisters.
I know, I can't wait for the Full House this episode. That's gonna be interesting.
I'm so if you guys can't tell, we are just, like, itching to watch this next episode, but we have to wait because we have a outstanding deal with a friend that we watch it with her every week.
Yes.
And today she had to be a little bit later in the day.
Okay, so next thing, we're gonna go actually into specific episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4 to kind of just give a quick summary in case for those of you who, like, kind of just watched it too. But there are spoilers ahead, so please be careful when you're watching this.
Yes, so if you don't want to be spoiled, be sure to catch up and meet us back when you've watched.
Yes.
Okay, so I am going to start us out with episode 1, entitled Filmed Before a Live Studio Audience. Disney Plus summary of this episode: Wanda and Vision struggle to conceal their powers during dinner with Vision's boss and his wife. So, fun fact about this episode, you guys already probably know this, but it was in fact filmed before a live studio audience.
Oh, I wish you were there.
Imagine the NDAs though. Like, and they had to keep it secret way longer than they thought they
especially
did.
With COVID, they've known this for a long time.
Honestly, I'm shocked that nothing has leaked from the audiences.
I know.
Like, really shocked. Obviously,
they probably, like, hid their phones and stuff.
They're probably all locked up in a room in Marvel Studios. They were like, oh shoot, can't let them out now. I'm telling you, that's what happens to people who leak things from Disney.
I know. We would be so bad, though. We would... No, I mean, if we were together, I think we would talk about it together,
yes,
but, you know.
Yes, we would be able to discuss it.
That's true. So,
but, like, I feel bad for those people.
I know.
I wonder if they got people that were, like, more disconnected from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I don't know. Maybe it's just... yeah,
yeah,
no,
they
yeah.
have a behind-the-scenes feature, and they all kind of looked, like, older in the audience. Like, they would have enjoyed the sitcom aspect, so
okay, maybe.
But
I have no idea.
Anyways. We open the entire series with no background. We go straight into, you know, a sitcom intro.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, now credits new rock stars for this.
Yes, we love them. We watch them after every single episode, so we can catch little things.
Yes, they are lifesavers. Mm-hmm. So if you ever want to break down Easter eggs at a deeper level than we probably will ever mm-hmm. be able to accomplish, definitely go watch them
yes.
after episodes. But, you know, we open episode 1 with this intro. Really cute. Very, like, oh, wait, oh my gosh. I preface with new rock stars to say, this probably takes place in August of 1961.
Oh, yes.
That makes sense. The Friday Night Show came out in 61, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was airing during mm-hmm. like, that period of time. But mm-hmm. regardless, we open classic sitcom, you know, she's in the kitchen, drying some dishes, Vision comes in, we have some, like, little, like, physical sitcom humor, and then we notice a calendar, and they are discussing what this little heart-marked date, August 23rd?
I think so.
Yes, is, and, you know, they're both like, well, yeah, this date, this really important date that we both definitely know. But we realize that they don't know what this date is.
And Vision can't forget anything, so definitely
odd. It doesn't track.
Yes.
But, you know, Vision's like, I have to go to work. He leaves, and we meet our first new character.
Yes.
We meet Agnes, who has been, you know, publicized as this nosy neighbor. Played by Katherine Hahn.
Yes.
Wonderful Katherine Hahn. She comes in. You know, introduces herself to Wanda, talks about her moving into the neighborhood, and she's like, what's up, Wanda? And Wanda's like, it's a very important day today. Katherine Hahn, I mean, what? You guys will know what I'm talking about. Agnes kind of looks at her and goes, your anniversary? And Wanda's like, you know what, yeah, sure, my anniversary. That makes sense. It's marked with a heart. It's her anniversary. Agnes agrees to help her. We cut to Vision at work. Vision is at work as a computer, not a physical computer. But, like, he is physically computing.
Yes.
We meet this other new character named Norm. They discuss what they do. Vision gets, like, you know, some comedy in there. Paul Bettany really showing off his comedic skills. And we meet said boss, Mr. Hart, who comes up to Vision and is like, you ready for tonight? And he's like, sure. And he's like, you know, wife with me and what? Dinner with me. I'm doing so good. Dinner with me and my wife. Vision is like, oh, the heart and the calendar represent a dinner with the hearts. He calls Wanda. We get another classic sitcom moment of them miscommunicating over the phone.
Yes.
You know, the day continues on, and then we get this really, you know, classic, like, embarrassment humor of Wanda coming out, thinking that it's her and Vision's anniversary that helps us candle it. She comes out in her, like, lingerie, like 50s lingerie.
Yeah, 50s.
And covers Mr. Hart's eyes. We get a whole scene. She realizes, you know, oh no, this is not what we talked about. You know, Vision pulls her aside and is like, we're having dinner with my boss. You kind of figure something out. Agnes comes to help her. We get, like, a classic, another classic, you know, sitcom moment. Everything is very sitcom-y. They sit down for dinner. You know, she makes breakfast for dinner after having a lot of trouble with trying to make this dinner really quick.
And Vision trying to distract the hearts.
Yes, entertain by, like, singing Old McDonald to the farm. They sit down for dinner, and this is when things get, like, really weird. Because they sit down, and as someone would want to do, Mr. Hart begins to inquire, you know, where are you from?
When did you get married? Which should be an easy question.
Yeah, and Wanda goes to answer. Vision goes to answer, and they realize that they genuinely do not remember. Then, like, as he keeps grilling her, you see Wanda get more and more, you know, uncomfortable, a little bit frightened. Vision, like, stops moving. And then in the blink of an eye, Mr. Hart is choking. Wanda almost completely snaps out of not only this, like, unsettled, like, uncomfortableness she's in, but, like, her sitcom persona looks at Vision, and almost as if she's, like, commanding him to do it. It's like, help him. Vision helps him. Then everything is normal again. We also get this really unsettling, you know, a scene with Mrs. Hart, who's sitting there going, stop it. Stop it. Looking at Wanda, like, smiling on the verge of tears.
Oh, it was very creepy.
So scary.
I was not expecting that.
But shout out to her. Love that 70s show. She's in that, if you guys have seen it. She's the mother. I lost my train of thought. I'm back. Okay. I'm so sorry.
We're back, guys.
But, you know, Mr. Hart gets up. He's like, you know what? Good job. You get a promotion. Very oddly, everything
yeah,
is fine.
Yeah, like nothing happened.
You know, they leave. And then we get, like, you know, WandaVision being like, oh, we survived our first dinner party. And then at the prompting of Vision, Wanda makes them rings on the fingers. This is the first time we've seen her create anything.
Completely,
right?
Yeah. We've never seen that.
She's never done it in the movies, and she hadn't done it up to this point in the show. She, like, changed the chicken into eggs and stuff like that, but she hasn't made anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting, but, you know, they kiss, Vision turns off the TV or turns it on, and we zoom out, the aspect ratio changes, and we see what we now know as Sword mm-hmm. observing the couple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 we do. It was awesome first episode, but also in the same day, they released episode 2, which is named Don't Touch That Dial. Still don't understand the title, but, you know, it's okay. And the summary is, in an effort to fit in, Wanda and Vision perform a magic act in their community talent show. So we open with a scene that we've seen with Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany with interviews. And they're in their room, beds apart, because that's what they did in other sitcoms. And there's this really unsettling noise outside, and it scares them. And Vision goes and looks, says there's nothing there. The noise keeps happening, and Wanda's like, okay, let me go check it out. And it's a tree branch, which doesn't really fit the noise. I've heard trees hitting windows, and pretty sure that's not what it sounds like, but maybe I could be wrong. And then we switch to the theme song, really fun theme song, Bewitched Style, into Wanda and Vision practicing for their magic act, which is really cute, but very simple. It's very obvious what they're doing, and Vision says, Wanda, shouldn't we be doing something else? I mean, we have powers. We can do something so much more impressive. But Wanda is persistent and just fitting in to this neighborhood and being like them and fitting this stereotype. And then Vision goes to this neighborhood watch meeting where there's this awkward disconnect because he's just more serious and the other guys just want to play around. And then he calls Norma Kami, and that kind of gets into the, that gets him into their little group because they find that hilarious.
Oh, yes. Oh, I forgot to mention this in the first one. Really fast.
Okay.
This is our second, like, implication of, like, the Red Scare. Because in the first episode, when the Hearts come over, Vision mentions that Wanda's from Sokovia. Interesting that they remember that much.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mr. Hart says something in the line of, like, we don't have dinner with the Bolsheviks.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is our second instance of the Red Scare, which...
Yes, mentioning Norm being communist. And then we see him take a piece of gum from Herb, I believe, right? Herb. And it, like, janks up his robot gears or whatever. And he just kind of acts all drunk and funny. But then we also see that... Wanda comes outside of her neighborhood, out of her house, and she sees this helicopter in the bushes. It's a really tiny, looks like a toy helicopter, but it's in color. It's red and yellow, which obviously Wanda's powers are red, Vision's mind stone is yellow, so maybe it could be something like that, but I don't know. And it has a Sword logo on it, so obviously now we can obviously see it's most likely the Sword drone that Monica has flown in episode 4. And then she kind of gets really confused and scared, but Agatha quickly just gets her out of that mood. And then we transition into with Dottie, this new character, who is this queen bee neighborhood person who's setting up the talent show. We see a bunch of women of the neighborhood there. We also meet this character who is obviously Monica Rambeau. We know now, we knew that before, but she introduces herself as Geraldine with hesitation, as if she was trying to figure out what her name was. And then this pool scene is really, not too much is happening there, but then we kind of see Wanda and Dottie having their little moment, and it's kind of awkward. Wanda's trying to fix kind of the mess she made in the meeting, but we hear this noise from a radio saying, Wanda, come in. Wanda, who's doing this to you? We now know it's Jimmy Woo being concerned for Wanda and the barrier. And Dottie cuts her hand, but it's red blood. You can see the red, but quickly gets out of that again, the scene. Quickly cut out of it. Then we go back to the talent show, and we see they do their little magic act. Vision kind of drunkenly reveals powers, but Wanda fixes it with her own powers. Then they're kind of in with the neighborhood now because it was so funny. And then they go back home, celebrating their accomplishments, so proud of themselves for making it through the talent show. And there's this noise outside. They go outside to check on it, and it's a beekeeper who we now know is a Sword agent guy who is trying to figure out what's going on. But Wanda just says no. And that scene just completely rewinds as if it never happened. They're back. Super creepy. Wanda and Vision are back in their house as if it didn't happen again. And Wanda magically becomes pregnant.
Yes, and she magically became pregnant before the scene, but, you know, this is when we really get to, like, process that.
Yeah, it was definitely really interesting. So, episode 3, Reagan.
Alright, so episode 3, entitled Now in Color. So, at the end of episode 2, we do see everything transition into color.
Mm-hmm.
Could this mean something deeper for the show? I mean, possibly, I haven't figured it out yet. But, I mean, it's important to note that Bewitched, which is obviously the last episode, took a lot of inspiration from,
mm-hmm.
ran partially in black and white, partially in color. Just a fun fact. But we get this, this episode. Now in color, Disney Plus summary. Wanda's pregnancy fritzes her powers as she and Vision prepare for an accelerated delivery. So, episode 3 opens with a very Partridge Family, Brady Bunch style,
mm-hmm.
you know, theme song opening. Like, lots of different scenes, little montages of scenes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, with the hexagon shape.
Yes, lots of hexagons. And I have a lot of questions that we can get into later about the, like, passage of time between episodes. Say that it's 12 hours, but we know that more episodes happen between because we know that the Sword Agents watch more. It's weird.
I don't know.
I don't understand the passage of time, but it's only been, like, 3 hours, whatever. Continuing. So, we open with Dr. Nelson, new character, we haven't seen him before at this point, there to check up on Wanda's pregnancy. He is commenting about how she seems to be 4 months along. Wanda's like, yes, absolutely 4 months along. Vision is like, now wait, I'm concerned. It's been 12 hours. She's like 5 months pregnant now. And she's like, Vision, be quiet. Please. Goodness, walk the doctor out, why don't you? You know, the doctor makes a comment before he leaves about the size of fruit equating to the size of the baby as, like, the months go along. Makes a little sexist comment to go with that.
Rude.
Wanda's like, huh, interesting. Vision walks him out. The doctor tells him that he and his wife are going on a vacation to Bermuda. That could be interesting. We'll get into it later.
Mm-hmm.
But Bermuda was an interesting choice. But, you know, he comes back in. He's like, Wanda, you're literally even more pregnant now. She's like, oh, am I? I can't see from this angle. You know, it continues on. They're talking about this pregnancy. Then we get
the crib.
Oh, yes. I was like, wow, I don't know what happens. I do remember now. Then we get them, you know, putting together this, like, children's room, this baby room. They're in there. She's putting together cribs and a mobile. Mobile?
I think it just depends where you're from or just how you say it. I don't think it matters.
Look at me about the pronunciation of that word. You know, it is what it is.
This spinny thing on top of that.
But, you know, they're discussing all of this. You know, Vision is being, like, this classic nervous dad, like, reading all these books about, you know, the progression of pregnancy. Oh, hold on.
Your mom is.
Pause this really fast. Technical difficulties. So sorry for that.
We're back. We don't have the best setup, and we're also 17, so we still live for our parents. So, you know, there's inconveniences.
And noise. But, you know, okay, so, you know, if they're making this crib, they're making this room, Vision is all stressed about, you know, the babies are coming, he's telling her all these...
I just had this specific image of, like, Paul Revere being like, the British are coming,
magical babies. But, you know, Vision has, like, all of these milestones for these babies, and then Wanda's like, oh, I felt a kick. And Vision is like, a kick already? This is progressing farther than we anticipated. And,
just a little bit.
You know, Wanda's like, it didn't hurt, it just felt a little fluttery, and then the butterflies come to life. She looks at them, a little confused, and she's like, huh, did I do that? And Vision is like, great question, I literally can't answer. But, you know, we move on, transition to a scene where, very cutely, they're practicing how fast Vision can change a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wanda has Braxton Hicks contractions.
Yes.
I think that's what they're called.
Don't add us, medical community.
Yes. I have gotten behind the mic confirmation that it is, in fact, Braxton Hicks contractions. But she's in false labor. And then her
house starts malfunctioning.
Like, the Purge style. Everything's freaking out. And she's like, uh-oh. And all the power goes out. She's like, I hope they don't know that was me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that she's in this false labor. So now we know, like, this is not going to be great when the babies are actually coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they're sitting down, and she's like, you don't think that they're going to be able to tell, and she talks about how she's kind of nervous about the babies coming. Mm-hmm. And then Vision sits down and looks at her very seriously, and he's like, hey, something is wrong here, Wanda.
Oh, yes, because we forgot to mention with Herb. It was, like, messed up cutting his...
Oh, my goodness. We totally overlooked that. When he goes out, after he, like, leaves the doctor out, he sees Herb, who we met last episode.
No, I think we met him in episode one.
Did we meet him in episode one?
I think so.
He may have been,
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
But, I mean, regardless, Herb is cutting his hedges, but when we cut back to him, when Vision's about to tell him bye, he's cutting into his wall.
Love that for him.
But Vision is kind of questioning things now. Mm-hmm. He's like, Wanda, I think something is wrong here. And then we get, similarly to what happened with the beekeeper, but it's a cut. Like, it comes back to, I thought my TV had messed up. Mm-hmm. And I was just so mad. I was like, what am I missing? And I was like, oh, I think this is intentional. it cuts again, and the conversation proceeds as we would assume Wanda wants it to proceed. Mm-hmm. With him being like, we're in uncharted waters, but we're gonna be fine, and he comforts her. Then her water breaks. You know, the pipes all burst, the water literally breaks. A lot is going on, she's literally in labor, Vision is freaking out. Vision is like, I'm gonna go with the doctor. Interestingly, he uses super speed that we've never seen Vision demonstrate before.
Mm-hmm, and then later in the episode they don't mention it again.
she shows off his powers, like, fully to the
I
doctor.
Know.
But Geraldine shows up at Wanda's house when she's in labor. And Wanda's like, oh no, I can't let her know that I was literally not pregnant yesterday and now pregnant again. Like, I'm just, like, literally, like, 9 months pregnant.
That's a little suspicious.
It's a little odd. A little weird. And Geraldine comes in. She's, like, in this, like, comedic, like, best friend role. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hey, Wanda, I need a bucket. And interestingly, she says, the pipes in my house burst. We'll get into this deeper later on, but we hear Agnes and Herb specifically say she doesn't have a house. Mm-hmm. So that opens questions that we can discuss later.
Yes.
But regardless, eventually, after having all these conversations and her trying to hide this in different ways, and the appearance of a stork that Wanda cannot get rid of.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It gets to the point where she's having such bad contractions, she drops what she's using to cover her belly, and Monica's like, oh shoot, you're like having a kid. And helps deliver a baby. Mm-hmm. The doctor comes back, Vision comes back, the baby is delivered. Vision is like, Tommy. She's like, oh, they had an argument earlier about whether they were going to name the kid Billy or Tommy. Vision wants Billy, Wanda wants Tommy. We all kind of have an assumption, a knowledge of where that's going, but... You know, he comes in, he's like, oh, Tommy. She's like, oh, really? And then, oh, no, there's a whole other baby coming out. He's like, oh, shoot, what's wrong? She's like, bro. And she's like, oh, there's a whole other one in there. And they have another kid. And so they're like, Billy and Tommy. We know that these characters exist both in the comics, and we've assumed they were coming.
Yes.
But, you know, the babies are born. The doctor's like, you have two healthy baby boys. Vision walks the doctor out. You know, the doctor says, you know what? Small towns, so hard to escape from. I don't think we're going on vacation after all. Mm-hmm. Weird. Mm-hmm. Kind of sad. But, you know, then we look inside where Monica and Wanda are, like, standing with the babies. Mm-hmm.
Which, creepiest scene, I think, so far.
Yes, this, like, it just ups the creepiness from the last two episodes when Monica goes... Well, Geraldine, but we're gonna probably be referring to her as Monica.
Yes.
Because it's really hard to remember.
Forgive us.
But Monica's like, you have twins. And Wanda just kind of stops for a second. Maybe she's remembering, maybe she's deciding, she trusts Monica enough to tell her. Looks at her and she goes, I'm a twin. And Monica's like, really? And she's like, yeah, I had a brother, Pietro. And we hear her accent come back. Mm-hmm. Which... first time
since
you kind of hear it in other movies, it's mm-hmm. like barely there, but this is the first time it's strongly come back. Mm-hmm. She sings to these babies in Sokovian, which we've never heard anyone speak Sokovian. Mm-hmm. It was honestly really sad.
Yes.
I kind of teared up.
I know.
But Monica makes a mistake when she looks at Wanda and goes, Your brother was killed by Ultron, wasn't he? And Wanda, like, a switch flips in her brain.
Mm-hmm.
She turns and she's, what do you say? And Monica's like, nothing! But, you know, it's too far gone. Vision comes back in after this really unsettling scene where Wanda, like, notices Geraldine's sword necklace that hasn't been here since. But, like, Vision comes in. Where'd Monica go? Oh, she had to rush home, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode ends.
Yes, but you did forget to mention that also there was a scene outside with both Herb and Agnes.
Oh, yes.
Where they're talking, and they're obviously very suspiciously, because they keep looking over at Vision, mentioning Wanda.
And they're suspicious of Geraldine. That's important to
know. Yes, yes, suspicious. Oh my goodness, I can't speak of Geraldine. But Vision comes over, and Herb says, what does exactly he says?
Because we're all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh my gosh, how does they open that?
How does the scene open?
Well, oh, they're like, is Geraldine in there with Wanda? And then Vision is like, yes, why? Oh, and oh yes, and then we're getting help from behind the mic.
Who you will meet next episode.
You will meet next episode, our wonderful, wonderful third host, Carolina.
Yes.
But she's like, is Geraldine in there with Wanda alone? And, oh, yes, she's like, she's really having to tell us everything. Okay, she's like, yes, why? And then they're like, you know, she doesn't have a family, she doesn't have a husband, she doesn't have a home. And Vision is like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it continues, and then, we get this part where, like, Herb is like,
don't they say she's here because?
Oh, she's here because, and Herb is like, because we're all, and then Agnes turns around and is like, stop it.
Similarly to episode one, Mrs. Hart saying, stop it.
Yes. But he's like, anyways, going inside now. Good talking. Agnes is like, peacing out. Have a great day, guys.
Okay.
Vision goes inside. Monica's gone. The episode ends. We do not have any, like, thing after that. No sword.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is gonna be very long. We're gonna... We'll figure it out. Okay, so, back at it. Episode 4, my favorite episode so far, is titled, We Interrupt This Program. Literally. The summary is, Monica Rambeau, tasked with a special assignment regarding sentient weapons, goes missing. Now, we open this episode with something I was not expecting at all. Endgame was such a change, and I knew that, but I completely forgot about the dusting in Infinity War. And we open with Monica in real life, not in this barrier reality, coming back from being dusted in a hospital room with the hospital bed completely empty, and so many people are coming back from being dusted, or blipped as they call it sometimes, and it's a chaos in the hospital because people are coming back. And she's looking for her mom, who was apparently in the hospital, and she quickly finds out that her mom, sadly, Maria Rambeau, passed away from cancer during the whole 5-year time gap from Infinity War to Endgame, which is really sad. And then we cut to... I know, it was so heartbreaking. I was really upset. And then we cut to her coming back into the sword, which we finally see. Sword's main building meets with this new acting director, which was Maria's position. What's his name again?
Tyler Hayward.
Little suspicious, but we'll get into that. Little suspicious. Just him. And they have this little conversation where they mention this weird thing happening in New Jersey, Westview, New Jersey. That's how you say places. And they assign Monica to go and give these drones to them because
also very odd job to give Monica, but
yes, they task Monica with giving these drones to whoever is there in Westview to help them, but because apparently Maria, when she passed, did not want Monica to go and do terrestrial things. She wanted her to stay on the ground where it was, I guess, safer, but you know, it's not really safe anymore. And then we cut to her being in Westview, where we see Jimmy Woo, which, exciting, yes, with this little card trick he learned from the one, the only Ant-Man. And
we love Scott Lang.
We do love Scott Lang. And
John Krasinski is back, ladies and gentlemen.
What's Jim from The Office doing here? And they explain that there was this FBI, there was this missing persons who
is in witness protection program.
Yes, in witness protection program in Westview. But strangely, their family and friends not only don't know where he is, but don't know anything of him. Like, they don't know he exists at all. Which then leads this really just, like, a bunch of questions about who this person is and all that. We have suspicions on that.
But beyond that, no one knows Westview.
Yes, yes. The police officers there will not, like, don't understand that Westview exists, even though there's literally a sign behind them that says Westview, and they claim that they're from Eastview, so we don't know if that's actually a city, or,
research I have done, maybe I'm wrong, but, like, I don't know how I would have missed a city in New Jersey. Westview is real. To my knowledge, Eastview is not.
Yeah, so maybe they weren't there when whatever happened to Westview, and they're just think they're from East. I don't know. I have no idea. And so Monica flies this drone to Westview because it's weird. She finds out it's this barrier.
Finn is trying to make a cameo.
Oh, gosh. Not the dog. But Monica flies this drone.
This dog.
Into Westview.
Excuse him. He just has a lot of opinions. You know, we're going to take this time, you guys aren't even going to have to wait till next episode. We're going to bring our third host on to mic.
Yay!
Well, Finn. Before we get into our commercials and our Easter eggs, come join us.
Yes.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, she is here.
She is here. She's fantastic.
We need another voice to drown out Finn.
We do need another voice.
Hopefully they can't hear Finn, but I don't know. Okay.
We'll see.
Oh my goodness. He's
you
going
guys
crazy.
Will be able to He's tell.
A big fan of WandaVision, apparently. But
he's upset.
He's upset. But Monica tries to fly these drones, which we see look almost exactly like the drones from episode 2, but different colors, which we can get into
Captain
later.
Captain Marvel colors, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, Captain Marvel
colors.
That is true. But she flies this drone into Westview to kind of get eyes, see what's going on, but it disappears with no, feedback or no eyes on her monitor thing. And then Monica goes, she sees that it's this barrier, quickly gets sucked in, so that explains how she kind of got in. And then we cut to 24 hours later, I believe, sometime later, mm-hmm. We see the one, the only, Darcy from Thor.
Love Darcy. Love her.
Genius. With these other three people who are science experts in their fields, they come. There's this setup around the Westview barrier.
They have the Navy, the Air Force.
The Air Force,
NASA,
yeah, like everybody. They're trying to figure out what the heck is going on, just like us. And we see Darcy come out. She meets the director. She meets Jimmy. And she's kind of trying to figure out what's going on. She notices that there's some weird, feedback. And then she finds out that she can only kind of see the picture in this old-timey TV.
And this is our first mention this episode of CMBR.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
This cosmic microwave background radiation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then they see that, and so then they realize, oh, hey, whoa, that's Wanda and Vision. Those are Avengers. What the heck is going on? And then
we get that fun line from Darcy of, I know it's been a weird couple of years on this planet, but he's dead, right?
Really dead. Yes. Yes.
So
not blipped.
So people know that Vision is dead. May he rest in peace. But
which he's not.
So apparently not. But they're like, okay, well, we need to figure out what's going on. And so they start detailing about all the other people they see in these episodes and all that jazz. And they're just trying to kind of figure out what's going on.
Jimmy and Darcy are getting into the show.
Yeah, yes, oh yes, they're very invested. But we see them detailing notes, which I kind of zoomed in on, and I couldn't really notice anything super significant about their notes. But
we do see a note that says that Vision has woken Norm up.
Oh, yes, I did see that. And I was pretty clear on that, but I didn't think Norm, like, ever woke up, so I have no idea.
Maybe we'll see that.
But also, specific, y'all probably noticed, too, because a lot of people noticed it, but Agnes was the only one who didn't have a real name on her notes page.
No driver's license, no ID, yeah. just Agnes.
And so, after that, we still see them figuring out what's going on. It's also important to mention that they see, like, they see practically everything, but they also see the, like, reverses that we did, like, the cutscenes and all that, so they're confused on how that's happening. And then we cut back to, oh, they see Monica, and they're like, hey, we know her. But then she introduces herself as Geraldine, so they're very confused about what's happening there, too. And then we get to the scene in episode 3 where Wanda's confronting Monica. And things get a little spicy.
a little scary. I think getting blasted through, like, four layers of wall is
Also, an interesting note that you had there. She literally gets blasted through four walls, like, the fourth wall.
Yes. But before
that's a good point.
Yeah, before that, though, they get the exact same cuts we do, where we didn't know what happened before Monica just left. And then we zoom into the TV, back into Wanda's reality, and there's lines that happen, very scared. Monica's very scared. She has her little sword necklace, which we did not ever see her wear before, so that's a little interesting. We have theories on that. And then Wanda's like, you're not a friend, you don't belong here, you're, like, messing with me, I don't want you here, and just blasts her out of this reality. We see Monica wake up around the sword area where they are, and she says, Wanda, it's all Wanda, which we don't specifically know exactly what she means. Hopefully we'll figure that out in episode 5. And then we get back to Wanda's reality with a very uncomfy scene. After she says in episode 3, around when she says, oh, like, Monica had to leave, Geraldine had to leave, sorry, and Vision turns into, like, his gray form after Thanos took the Mind Stone.
Instead of having a billboard forehead, he has no forehead.
He's a corpse. And Wanda just quickly ducks her head not to look at it, and then right when she looks up, Vision's completely back to normal.
Which, interesting things to note here. Also, I noticed that after she blasts Monica through this wall, I don't know if you guys saw this, like, she almost looks, like, she like, repairs everything, but she looks scared.
Yeah, she does. She had, like, yeah.
But she didn't realize she was doing, I don't know.
Yeah, and then very quickly, Vision and Wanda just go sit back on the couch with their babies, like, pretending like nothing's wrong. But before they sit down, Vision, Paul Bettany did a really good job with his emotions. He looks really scared. Like, he's very concerned for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we end the episode. Very creepy. I'm excited to go and get episode 5 to understand what the heck is going on.
I'm very excited.
I'm also very excited. But we have a few more things to tell y'all before we get there, so we're gonna have to be a little bit more patient, because before you guys start typing it out and trying to tell us, there are commercials that happen in these first 3 episodes.
Yes, and it's important to note that in episode 4, we see that Sword can see the commercials. I saw a picture of, like, the episode 1 commercial, but they don't address it, which is really weird because they have stuff to do with Wanda's past.
Yes.
So.
And so the first commercial that we see in episode 1 is a toaster commercial. Mm-hmm. But not just any toaster commercial, a Stark Industries Toast 2000, something mm-hmm. like that. But the name is not as important as the fact that it is a Stark toaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this very wonderfully 50s, are you tired of burning your man's toast? Intro.
Very sexist.
I burn my man's toast on purpose.
Like, you know, if he's not careful, I will burn his toast. But not on accident. Just because you're gonna burn your toast now. Because, like, how unfortunate would it be, like, you know, like, imagine how annoying it would be to just, like, start your toast, like, your morning and be like, I'm so excited for my toast. And then just, like, it's getting burnt toast every day.
Getting your burnt toast from your useless wife. Apparently.
But you know, like, it cuts to this commercial, and there are Easter eggs we'll probably get into.
They are staring into the camera.
Very, like, they are very,
yes. Mm-hmm. There's, like, silent shots of them just looking at the
but
camera.
Not them, it's only the woman. Only
yeah,
the woman.
The guy doesn't seem totally, like, the woman seems more, like, connected. We also see the woman, like, at this point we've seen her in more capacity because there's a whole commercial in episode 3 where it's really just her and he's in the background.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, regardless, we get this toaster. You know, it talks about all the things you can toast, which kind of weird, but, you know, I've toasted more than just toast in a toaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but,
it's also the first time we see color.
It is, because yeah,
it's one of the red lights.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah. blinking, and...
But at first, it's not red.
It isn't red at first. Mm-hmm. But we get this, like, repulsory noise, and then that's a reminder. Why did the twins join, like get manipulated into joining Hydra? Well, because when they were 10 years old, a Stark missile, like, a Stark shell, like, hit their apartment. Their parents went through a hole. They were stuck under a bed for, I think he said, like, 2 or 3 days, Pietro said.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for this Stark missile to, like, blow up and, like, mm-hmm. kill them. And, we know that Wanda said that they could see this Stark missile, and the way you hear this, like, wind-up of the toaster sounds very much like the Iron Man 1 Jericho missiles that mm-hmm. we've seen him demonstrating.
Mm-hmm.
And people have done the math, and I don't know who to credit for this, but you'll probably be able to find someone somewhere, that we assume that this happened to Wanda and Pietro the same time Iron Man 1 happened. So mm-hmm. it would have probably been these missiles,
yes.
you could argue.
Yeah.
But, regardless, like, thus, this is probably alluding to the fact that their parents were killed by a Stark bomb and they waited for a Stark bomb to kill them. Since Carolina's here, do you want to go into the episode 2 commercial?
I remember them. I don't remember what order. I think that one
that
was
that's the watch one.
Yeah. So, the watch commercial, it's kind of, it's, I've, like, watched a lot of 50 so shows. It kind of opens up. It's very much like a sex appeal thing of, like, you need your 2 accessories, your woman, and your watch. And
like,
excuse
oh my
gosh. Me. And I said, when that happened, I said that I'm going to start calling any men around me my accessories.
Me personally, I think I'm, like, kind of probably sexier than a watch. You know,
maybe just a little age. Bit.
Maybe. You know, I don't know about that one, though.
It's true. This is a really sexy Nazi watch. It's a Nazi watch.
It is a Nazi watch.
I mean, are they selling it as merch? I hope they're not.
I really hope they don't. We don't need any more of that.
No, we
but
don't.
But yeah, it's a Hydra watch. Everything is cast in shadow. And from what I remember, there was like a creepy sound that the watch made.
It makes a similar, like, the way that this time, like, the
like getting faster. Like it gets faster.
It gets faster.
Like the toaster.
Staying the same. And then, I don't know if there were a whole lot of details.
Just the name Strucker.
The Strucker and Strucker. Hydra. You can see the Hydra octopus on it.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they don't address that. That is the one that they did see. Like, we watched them watch that commercial in the 4th episode, but they don't address it.
Yeah, yes. I mean, we never see the commercial. Like, when we look at the people who are on the board, the commercial people aren't there. Which gets into
Which
one of the theories I have, but we'll get into that next.
But also so important with Strucker, if you don't remember, too, about Age of Ultron. Strucker is the main Hydra scientist guy who experimented on the twins and kind of unlocked their powers. Mm-hmm. So that's also important to Wanda's past. And then in episode 3, we get the Hydra soap commercial, which opens with this mom who's very stressed with her kids running around, and they say, oh, like, when you need a break from reality, which, hint, hint, use Hydra soap in this, you know, better, you know, calming, relaxing place, and you can find the goddess within. So,
which is very out of pocket.
Very, very interesting.
But I personally think, and you guys probably agree, these commercials are the perfect segue into talking about the comic tie-ins are theories and Easter eggs.
Yes, so many, but we will try to just go on a couple.
I will quick preface comics really fast.
Uh-huh.
Comics that I think that if you want to read them, you should read, and little, like, hints and details. So, this has obviously been discussed quite a few times. What were the inspirations, comic-wise, for WandaVision? We've got the classic Tom King's Vision. Wonderful run of comics, if you guys want to read them, but it's where Vision decides... He wants to have this classic nuclear family. They move to the suburbs. He has a robot wife, robot children. I don't know. They're kind of synthesoids, androids. Don't know. Vision-esque children, a dog named Sparky, all this stuff. It's more than just, like, this cute suburban thing. If you want to read it, it's really a heart-wrenching comic, really interesting topics to get into there. That is obviously an inspiration. Then we have the House of M. Mm-hmm. of comics. I don't know how these are going to, like, transfer in, but we also have Scarlet Witch and the Vision, which I think I'm going to get into that one first, because then that ultimately leads into House of M. But in Scarlet Witch and the Vision, we see Scarlet Witch decide that she really wants to have children. She essentially, like, wills these children into existence. Mm-hmm. She has two twins, two boys. But they find out over the course of this run of comics that, like, every time she's not thinking about the children enough, they just disappear from existence. So, like, they have a nanny who's like, y'all, no offense, but this is kind of weird. The kids just leave. And, this is the point where they have to tell Wanda, like, you can't keep doing this, this isn't real. Then we find out that, through a lot of really convoluted comic storytelling, that these children are shards of Mephisto, which is essentially Marvel Devil, like, literally Marvel Satan.
Mm-hmm.
They're shards of his soul, which have become shards, I think, in an X-Men comic. No, not X-Men, Fantastic Four, doesn't matter. But, you know, he gets reabsorbed, and that is our first meeting of a woman named, well, it's not our first meeting, but it's a really important meeting of this woman named Agatha Harkness.
Which leads into our Easter eggs.
Yes, and so, but essentially, she wipes Wanda's memories,
mm-hmm.
and then by House of M coming along, so many things have gone wrong for Wanda. She's accidentally killed Vision. She's heartbroken. She's losing it, in not the best written way.
Mm-hmm.
I love those comics, but I, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, a flair for the dramatic, especially. Like,
yeah, and it's a little
like
bit
of feminine dramatics.
Yeah, like, the classic hysterical woman.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe we'll get into an episode about that at some point.
Yeah.
But, essentially, Wanda is so powerful and so heartbroken that she can't even hardly control herself. She's really not even doing this totally intentionally, constantly resetting reality, and we end it with the classic Wanda line of no more mutants.
Mm-hmm.
And half of the mutant population is not killed, but they do not have their mutant mm-hmm. abilities any longer, and they're all reset into this, like,
mm-hmm.
mutantless world, and they're like, oh shoot, that's mm-hmm. awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And now, leading into these theories, let's talk about Agatha.
Yes, because, I mean, you probably have figured it out already, but if you take Agatha, the beginning of Agatha, ending of Harkness makes Agnes. So, I mean, we're pretty sure Agnes is gonna be Agatha Harkness.
She wears the similar, like, the, what do you call it? The little thingies you put on the shirt, the queen wears them.
A
brooch?
Yeah!
Oh my goodness, we're geniuses,
yeah,
guys.
Like, she wears a similar brooch to Agatha in the comics. Wow, it's hard to, like,
differentiate.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And then what we also get in episode one, specifically with the first commercial, Reagan pointed out the fact that when the guy is walking, the wallpaper switches from these pot-like pictures to diamonds, which is similar to the trailers we have seen with Vision's Halloween costume as Vision, is this diamond symbol for his mind stone. And I figured out further that with the lamps, the lights in the lamps, and also on the clock, there are multiple diamonds in them. So that might be referencing to the mind stone and just the powers that has, but mm-hmm. it's very interesting.
And then, of course, those commercials in and of themselves are almost Easter eggs, but they're really almost like a journey through Wanda's trauma over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what we're going to see in episode 5. We could see, I don't know, probably something.
Maybe with Pietro.
Maybe Pietro. There's still, we've got to go into, like,
we still haven't seen Stanley yet, so that could be what we're.
Stanley.
Or Agnes's husband.
Oh
Ralph.
Oh, Ralph, sorry.
I was like Stanley dead?
Oh boy.
Which we haven't.
I was like, did you not know reason? That?
I didn't want to have to break the news. But no, like, it's really hard. Like, I was just gonna tangent right here for a second. It's like, it's so sad, like, trying to think of, like, in those movies that came out after his passing, what he was going to be.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But Caroline is right. We have not seen Agatha's so-called husband Ralph, which he mentions quite frequently.
Yeah, for being an unseen character. And, of course, this is a common thing
mm-hmm.
in sitcoms, like, the unnamed character. Like, so-and-so's boyfriend or so-and-so's husband.
But usually that's a one-episode thing. Like, in I Love Lucy, Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, like, I
whatever. They mention somebody, but you do either eventually see them, or it's just like a one episode.
Yeah, or like they'll mention them like a few, like every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Like it's like the like if you guys have watched Community, those running jokes that they have, like just in the background of scenes. Like it'll be an episode, like a thing that like that like woman like that course of a relationship. I think like the woman has a baby, and Abed helps like her have a baby in the back of the Community episode. They're not usually mentioned as often. I mean, there are a few examples I can think of. I think there's one in Cheer of someone having like a husband that we just never see. But it's just like this is Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Everything's an Easter egg.
Yeah, and they've been very like cryptic in keeping certain things secret. Yeah. And, like, giving us information little by little. So I really think that, like, that is going to play into it.
Definitely.
At least, if anything, as a joke.
Yes.
Like, as, like, a laugh joke.
I mean, we have talked, we definitely think, following the House of M storyline, we definitely think that Ralph is Mephisto. Mainly because we do not want Wanda to be a villain.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that being said, disclaimer from me, I heavily relate to Wanda. Will this age badly? Who knows?
Maybe.
Age badly. But, you know, if Wanda becomes evil, do what you need to do, baby. You're so sad. Like, let her be. I don't care that she kidnapped 3,000 people.
Yeah. Because,
it happens.
I mean, because we've seen so
we've
many.
We've only seen, like, 10. It's fine.
I mean, because we've seen so many scenes where it wouldn't make sense that Wanda is controlling.
And that goes into something that I really wanted to discuss really fast, because I haven't seen anyone else discuss this. In episode 2, Wanda's trying to tell Vision that something weird is happening.
Yeah, after she had that scene with Dottie with the radio, and then her. Yes.
So it's like, if she's really in control, we know she doesn't like when Vision questions it, or so she supposedly doesn't like when Vision can question it, so why in the world was she trying to question it then?
And I also haven't seen many people...
Going to Vision.
Yeah, she was like, Vision.
Yeah, right? I also haven't seen many people talking about the fact that Vision, too, is aware of kind of what's going on, and he's really suspicious of what's happening. And if you think that Vision's dead after Endgame, which we pretty much know, it doesn't make sense that
he's so sentient.
Yeah, if Wanda was fully in control of him, it doesn't make sense.
Which, I guess, like, begs to differ to the question of, like, is it, like, Vision's corpse? I don't like that.
I really don't think it is. I really don't think it is. I like the theory that Reagan had, which you should go off on.
Okay, so getting into theories now out of Easter eggs, I was wondering, maybe Vision is like, if this is all a projection of like Wanda's deepest desires, we know her deepest desire, one of her deepest desires is to be with Vision. Could Vision almost be a projection of a part of her mind? So it's like, this is the part of her mind that, like, is getting to the point where she realizes this can't last.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe he could be sentient, but I played with that idea, because, like, I don't know how else he could exist right now, except if, like, something happened that Shuri was in Infinity War was somehow able to save enough of Vision, which is very ambiguous. We don't know. And the Russos, for a very long time, refused to answer any questions about Vision's body.
Mm-hmm.
We now know why. We also know an Endgame scene got cut with Vision's body.
Mm-hmm.
So we do know that Wanda at least has contact with Vision's body, because Paul Bettany went out of his way to say that it was supposed to be shown. Mm-hmm. So I think we're supposed to infer that scene happened at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Great question. I don't know. Yeah. Hope she wasn't planning on necrophilia.
I don't know. Do we have any other Easter egg / main theories? Thinking about... Because, I mean, obviously we've seen... a lot with episodes 1-4, which kind of cleared things up.
I mean, Billy and Tommy themselves are Easter eggs, kind of, in the fact that, like, her children in the comics become Wiccan and Speed. Billy.
Yeah.
Captain and Tommy Shepard.
That's what's going to happen, which I do have, not more of a theory, but I'm hoping it's going to happen with the Halloween episode. I really think it'd be fun, because we obviously see that Wanda and Vision are going to be their superhero personas, so I think it'd be really fun to see a little family costume thing with Wiccan and Speed. So.
Oh, we have not talked about the rumors that Evan Peters.
Oh, right.
And so if you guys don't know, Evan Peters was Peter Maximoff, but just another version of Pietro, in the Fox X-Men franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been rumors, and, you know, like, I think he's coming.
Yeah, and I mean, because it is leading into Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, so they could play off something, because I think that people would be really upset if he was just replacing Really, yes.
And we know that Marvel is very meticulous in releasing certain films at certain times. Like, mm-hmm. they haven't released Black Widow yet. They barely just released WandaVision. Like, I think that they're very meticulous in it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to bring the X-Men into it as part of extending the universe. So yeah. I feel like this would be good opportunity.
I do think so,
especially because WandaVision has taken off so much.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, like, WandaVision is, like, the top, like, one of the top watched shows mm-hmm. currently.
It's really the Mandalorian for Marvel
yeah.
fans.
Yeah, it's...
We should also add to the fact, too, Reagan noticed something in episode 3, yes, 3, with the pregnancy of the baby, when Wanda's powers kind of go all haywire, we see a scene with Dottie and her husband alone, which we have never seen before.
This is, yes, okay, I noticed this, and this is another thing that I haven't seen very many people mention. We have the scene when all the power goes off in the neighborhood, we have this funny one-off line from Bill where, you know, Dottie comes into the room, do these earrings make me look fat, the lights goes off, he's like, thank God. And I was like, that's so funny. And then I was like, wait, that's weird, because neither Wanda nor Vision are in that room when that happens. And up until now, besides the commercials, we don't see any scenes with other people without one of them being present. And so... then that leads into the fact that in episode 4, when we look at all of the people on the board, mm-hmm. Dottie's not there. Now, maybe they didn't get to where Dottie was at this point,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, why would they... this could be them leading us down a rabbit hole and trying to get us to theorize in another direction, but I found that interesting.
Yes, definitely.
And it is.
Yes. Okay, I think that is all for our main theories and Easter eggs. We'll probably get more into that in episode 5, but... next, we're going to talk about kind of the trailers and the promos we've seen.
We're going to talk about, right before we watch episode 5, what we think is coming next.
Yes, yes, yes. Because the fifth episode should be at least 80s. And specifically for me, I have seen an 80s scene in the trailers where we see Agatha, Wanda, and Vision in this weird breaking of character where Agatha goes, oh, like, I'm sorry, let's take it from the top. And it's this breaking scene, and Wanda and Vision look really confused. So, like, what is happening there? I have no idea, and I'm really excited to see that next.
I really, really think Agnes is up to something.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carolina, any thoughts about, like, the trailers that we've seen so far?
So, we were kind of, like, scouring through the trailers, watching it at, like, half speed.
Oh, yes. For, like, 2 hours. I do that every single promo.
For the take it from the top line, I theorized that maybe, like, that caught them off guard in, like, a conversation. You know, Marvel likes to lead us different directions, especially mm-hmm. with trailers. I think we're kind of leading up to the Halloween episode. I feel like a lot's gonna get revealed at that mm-hmm. at that absolutely. Moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see, you know, Vision's costume change, we see him in his costume going through the portal, we see, like, people, like, in the background mm-hmm. while the screen's black having conversations. Mm-hmm. And should I talk about the one theory that we had?
Oh, yes, with the silhouette?
Yes.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So I thought that we see a figure come out
of the barrier.
Yes, and, like, 2 scenes before that, we see Vision trying to break through the barrier.
As it's
and
true,
we see him fall to his knees.
Yeah, we do not think yes. this figure is
yeah,
Vision.
We do see him fall to his knees. Yeah. But
it's not tall enough to be Vision.
Yeah, yeah. But we've looked at it, like, again, at 0.25 speed, and just, in general, we think it would just be too simple for Marvel to just, like,
to
make it Vision.
Right.
Yeah, to literally just put that scene all together.
And we see like, tanks go through this, we see, and people, like, going through it. It doesn't look like anybody we've seen, and with the silhouette, looks oddly like Doctor Strange.
Yes, not only the silhouette, we've looked, but, like, spikes, like, kind of near his head look like his cape. We've seen blue and red, which is very similar to his costume.
And, like,
and
be Wanda, I suppose, but our working theory right now.
Yes, and we've seen...
Right, because then we see a scene with her outside of a complex, And she's not wearing anything remotely like that outfit.
Because, like, the big question is, when is she getting this new costume that we've seen?
That's a good question.
Of, like, what in the...
That's a good question.
Did someone throw it and it's like, put on your boob costume?
Yes, yes, but with what Caroline was saying, with the scene that we saw of... Kind of, it looks like Wanda is somewhat in this complex. Reagan and I noticed that it looks very similar to her outfit she's wearing during Tony Stark's funeral.
Which would track with this, like, this progression of events. Now, like, obviously there's 3 weeks completely unaccounted for, but if we talk, like, if we think that there was going to be an end credit scene where she goes and she, like, is looking at, like, Vision's body at the robot morgue, like, would they put him in a human morgue?
I don't know.
Like...
I don't think so.
I'm not really. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Like, you're showing up at the morgue and you're like, oh, here for you. Oh, that's not a human.
That's a dead body.
I don't know.
That's a robot.
That's a dead robot body.
Rude to the other morgue guests.
Yeah. But so, but then it opens a lot of questions that we were wondering because the main question we've had lately is why Westview? Why New Jersey? She's been in New York after Endgame, so how the heck is she in New Jersey? And like, why, like, this small, random small town?
Like, oh, wait,
Is the missing person significant
to Wanda?
To Wanda.
And I just thought of something really random, but, like, we don't know where, for, like, obviously when we see them in Infinity War, they're in Scotland, but we do know that Team Cap moved around a lot. Could they have stayed in Westview at some point?
Wait, no, that's they're not in New York. Wanda was... Oh, wait, actually, I don't know where Tony Stark's funeral is. That was the end. Tony Stark's funeral. So, I don't know.
Where was...
That's a good question, too.
Colorado?
I don't know. I don't think they ever said. Because it's just... I don't think we ever saw the cabin before.
The Barton... Like, he takes his inspiration from the Bartons, which we... It's like a callback to Age of Ultron. He's like, maybe I'll build Pepper a barn.
Yeah.
And then we see him. He's living in this ice cabin after he comes back in Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just realized the time. Wait. Yes, the opening.
Yes.
Never mind. Ignore me just realizing Endgame.
And then another thing that I noticed specifically and a lot of questions on is in a couple of the trailers, we see this scene where Wanda and Vision look like they're in their house and they're like rising up from the ground. But that's not the most important thing because it is in black and white, which is interesting. But there is a TV behind them. And they are playing on the TV.
Right.
Which is really weird. Now, okay, really fast, like, I realized we didn't get into this in the theory section, which, I don't know how we missed this. Why don't we go, like, around in, like, the circle and, like, say, what do we think? Like, do we think Wanda's responsible? Do we think someone is controlling
her? Right.
What do we think?
Okay.
So, starting with Riley.
I mean, I think it definitely is a possibility that Wanda's controlling, but one, I think that's really too simple for Marvel, because... In this last episode, we did see Monica say, Wanda, it's all Wanda. And so that would reveal that kind of we already know, which is too simple. And I just think that, too, Wanda's had a lot of trauma that she needs to deal with, so I really don't think that they should make her the villain just because of, like, mental health, which that's a whole nother story. But, no, I think there's just way too many little things that make it seem like Wanda's not in control. Like I mentioned, the fact that she doesn't have a control on Vision, the fact that, obviously, like, the whole thing with Dottie happened, and, like, all these weird things. Like, if she was fully aware of what was happening, the beekeeper would have never gotten in. The helicopter wouldn't have gotten in. Like, all these things wouldn't have happened. And also in these many scenes where she does kind of lose control, she looks very scared and, like, very much as if she has no idea what's happening. And we do get a little audio and, like, a trailer saying, I don't know how any of this started.
Yeah.
So I really don't think she's controlling this.
Carolina?
I feel like it's definitely connected to Agnes. I concur with Riley. And, like, she's had control of every inanimate object. She has never had control over a person.
Yeah. And, like, you could argue that she made Mr. Hart choke, but that necessarily isn't control over him.
Yeah.
Right. And that could also be, like, controlling the food.
Yeah,
like, and I feel like it's like a dream. It's like a dream where you can, like, almost control it. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But also, it's her preferred reality.
Yeah.
So, she's gonna be very tempted to do anything to keep it the way that she's had it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, I think that part of is her control of, like, you know, the little things of having her powers and ejecting people, apparently. But it does like, raise a question that the person who is controlling her isn't taking the precautions enough to make it seem like this reality is flawless. Like, so many people have gotten in. Yeah. They've talked to Vision. Vision, like, she's seeing flashbacks of Vision. And, like, they were, like, literally about to tell him that it's a false reality.
Yeah. And the fact, too, that S.W.O.R.D. is obviously able to see what happens.
Like,
so, like, there's that, and then, oh, wait,
I find the phrase where Darcy says someone's censoring the broadcast, I mean, at this point, I think Wanda maybe suspects that people are watching her, but, like, would she have, like, she has the forethought to rewind things, but does she have the forethought to censor what's going out?
I have no
idea. I feel like she's, I feel like it's not, yeah, I feel like she's the one who's censoring it. Like, she decides, okay, we're gonna break character for this moment, and, like, the kind of waves cut off.
Yeah. Which is, like, my question is, like, she chooses to break character, but, like, is she the one choosing to censor? Because, like, she's breaking character, right? Like, so my theory, personally, like, I think Wanda's in control of the reality. Like, I do think that it is. I think someone went into this with the intention of manipulating her into doing something and just underestimated how powerful she is, because the big questions we have is, like, how in the world did Wanda even figure out she could do any of this?
Yeah, because we had no idea that she could, again, she could only do telekinesis really kind of up to Endgame.
And my question about the mind control is, do I think she could be mind controlling the town? Sure. But the thing is, like, when we see her do, like, this mind controlling, like, vision-y stuff.
In Age of Ultron.
She has to be, like, right next to these people.
Yeah.
And she can't get them all at once.
And you see her powers working. You see the red, like, around them.
It's like, so something happened somewhere that she she understood that she could do this. And I just don't trust that she was like, I wonder if I can do this.
Because even Vision had to tell her, oh, hey, like, you can create rings.
Yeah.
And had to tell her that. So that's interesting. And we did also talk about the fact that Wanda has experienced so much trauma, and the fact that she's having kids is crazy because she's not ready for that. And not only the trauma, she's, like, at most 21.
Yeah, she's
so she's not prepared for a kid.
And also the fact that, like, she kind of, like, sped run through it. Which, you know, it's also for the sake of the audience, so we're not, like, getting this dragged on thing. But, because it's technically happening day by day. But
there's a show called Day by Day, right?
I don't know. Maybe. That just reminds me of Godspell.
Maybe it's literally Godspell that I thought of. Hold on. You continue. I'm gonna figure out if there's a show called
But she kind of, like, sped run through it. And, like, hit all the points that you know, you think about with pregnancy. But I don't think she understood the weight of what she was doing.
Yeah, so it is definitely
1988 sitcom, Day by Day.
Day by Day.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Let's see. What
it
else?
Did not run for very long. I don't know how I remember that.
What else is there? Again, trailers or promos? Let's think. Oh, there is one where we've seen it. We see it a couple of times when, like, everything's kind of falling apart for Wanda and everything's glitching. And you can only see, like, the frame of the house. Like, there's gaps and you can just see, like, the wooden frames of the house. So the question is, it's literally right in / by Westview. So is this just, like, an abandoned part of Westview? Like, what is this? Is it just, like, a rundown,
like,
place by
Westview?
Yeah, it's really weird.
And notice it isn't, like, flickering like it's, like, we would see with, like, Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
It's flickering like it's a hologram.
Yeah, and it's, like, but I'm gonna cast really quickly before, like, we get in, watch this next episode, and record next episode of this podcast, because when we finish episode 5, we'll come straight here, give you guys all immediate reactions, but I'm gonna throw out a theory that, like, first off, none of us trust this Hayward dude.
Not in a bit.
He's so shady.
I'm, like, sorry. We don't.
Freaks me out. If I met him on the street, I wouldn't do anything. I'd
We're
just
throwing hands.
But, like, in the comics, the big part of House of M is that, you know, we have these two sides of the coin when it comes to Wanda. Like, Wolverine and portions of the X-Men and the Avengers are like, maybe we should just kill her. And then Spider-Man, I remember, there's a very, like, specific scene I remember where he's like, so you're telling me if my powers went crazy, you'd just kill me? And Wolverine is like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
Which is on par for Wolverine.
Very on par for Wolverine. But, like, that was the moral, like, wrestling of House of M. If this person who's, she's really not being malicious, she's trying her hardest to make everybody happy. Which, if we find out that Wanda's control, I don't think she's trying to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you think about it, like, objectively, being in a sitcom world is not the bad thing.
Mm-hmm. I wish I was in a sitcom.
I know. Wanda, can you take us?
Can we please?
But, like, I think that we're going to get that, because, like, do I think that director Haywood could have a part of, like, the really big bad of the series?
Maybe.
But, like, I think that he might play this Wolverine side of things, mm-hmm. of, like, I know that Monica is probably not going to want to hurt her. From what we know about Monica, and, like, of course, Geraldine could have been, like, a persona put on, but, like...
I feel like it was, like...
She's not a mean person.
Yeah.
No reason to believe she is.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Monica or Darcy or Jimmy are gonna want to hurt Wanda,
mm-hmm.
but I do think director Haywood is going to want to hurt her.
And it mm-hmm. also just may be, like, a sin of omission, of, like, he's, like, well, the... Or if,
yeah.
he's in a, if she's in a situation where she could die or she could, like, kind of self-implode, he's, like, let her.
Yeah. And it's, like, I have theories about this man. I think that, like, we don't know where Vision's body went. We just know that it was somewhere, stored somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance that Sword could have had it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he knows more about the situation than he's letting on. Because think about it, why would he send, technically, the, like,
the
it's implied that she's the director before him, right?
No, her mom
No, her
was
mom
the
was. Her mom,
I forgot her mom was alive. she was, like, next in line, though.
I would assume so.
Yeah,
yeah.
And like,
if anything, just bureaucracy. But she's valid for the job.
Either way, she's a very high-ranking member of Sword.
Yes.
I don't think he really would have sent her if this was just some, like, she has to fly a singular drone with this FBI man. Like,
well, I mean, but you could argue though that he wanted to, like, ease her back in after her mom died, because that's a lot.
I mean, that's true, but, like, why specifically that? And, like, of course, like, sometimes things just happen. But I really do think he knows more than what he's letting on, because think about it, whenever Darcy is trying to explain to them what CMBR is, he just knows. He's like, oh yeah, relic radiation dating back to the thing. But he's been clueless about everything else.
Yeah.
Like, he's sending these agents in with no forethought. They just keep sending drones, and he's, like, clueless. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, we haven't...
That's another thing we didn't talk about, is the fact that the things change when they enter the reality, right? And we have no idea what happened to this beekeeper guy, because Wanda also rewinded.
People are saying that he's the ice cream man at the beginning of the episode, but it's not the same actor. The guy who plays the beekeeper
that's
is a really popular Marvel stuntman, but it's not the ice cream, I don't know.
Another thing that I realized in trailers, too, is that we obviously see this scene with Wanda in the Mind Stone and it breaking, and we believe that it's probably, we're gonna get some backstory about how she got her powers, because, little segue here, I recently started watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they mentioned a little bit in season 2 of Wanda's backstory with Strucker, and of course it wasn't completely canon since it's not through, like, Disney.
It is canon now.
I think it is now. It is
There's
now. But,
using,
yes, so,
okay,
I think, like, so I think it's gonna be really interesting to kind of figure out, like, the backstory about how she got her powers.
Yeah.
Did they know that, like, she had these dormant powers? Like, are they gonna lead it into her being a mutant or something?
Yeah. And I absolutely agree, and I think me and Carolina had a similar thought about, there's a good chance that she's just already a mutant. Her powers were just dormant until...
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah. Like, it's not so convoluted of an explanation for them to say, like, they had no reason to have powers until, like, they went through this horrible...
Well, I mean, that's how,
right.
that's how, I mean, that's how it worked with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the Inhumans.
Yeah.
So.
And so it's, like, because I think then they can, if they really want to, bring back, like, Magneto being her father. Do I think they'll bring back, Ian McKellen? I don't know. I hope so.
Because, mm-hmm.
Lizzie Olsen was teasing that there's a, people have overblown what she said, but an interviewer was like, are you getting a Luke Skywalker Mandalorian, like, esque cameo? And she was just like, yes. I'm surprised it hasn't
been
leaked.
Which it could be Doctor Strange. But
it could be.
Which could be Doctor Strange.
I hope so.
Really hope so.
You guys know I'm dead set on Doctor Strange 2 just being like, Doctor Strange is a sad magic Batman, and Wanda being like a sad magic Robin. And
yes.
A wonderful little multiverse.
Yeah.
Which helps because Benny Snatch Cumbersnitch is like, what, 35? And then...
I have no idea.
Like, as Doctor Strange?
Oh, I have no clue. How old is Mr. Benedict? Let's see.
I have no idea.
Well, I don't know how old his character is, but we know that Wanda is 21.
Yeah,
or 20. I don't know. It's kind of ambiguous. She's 17.
Yeah. Which is also, too, a good thing to...
He's 44. He's probably
It's a good thing to preface, too, because a lot of people...
That would actually work.
A lot of people
That would actually work.
No, I was just gonna say, it's just important to note too that Wanda's like 21 and just kind of like realizing too all this stuff has happened when she's been pretty young, and a lot of people have been just like accusing her of being like, why is she doing this, what's happening. It's like she's lost so many people from the span of her being like 10 to 18,
and even before then she was in the middle of like civil unrest, Sokovia.
Yeah,
like,
so...
Like, cut her some slack.
Yeah.
Like, maybe probably never learned to cope.
Okay.
I'm shocked she hasn't lost it before now. Just gonna, like, say that.
I know.
Wait, with commercials, we haven't seen her address the trauma of probably accidentally killing people in Sokovia, not Sokovia, Lawless.
Oh, whoa, you're right. That might be a thing.
Yeah, I
that may be the next one.
I think the next one might be Pietro, because, like, that was technically, like, in order the next thing that happened.
Yeah,
Wait, because we
have the Stark, Strucker, and then the domestic goddess, which doesn't
fit. Well, no, you're right, because that would be, because Pietro was in Age of Ultron, and then that, then her killing those people wasn't until Civil War.
But, like,
so
find the goddess, find the goddess within may have been her powers awakening.
Yeah.
That would work. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because it's like, think about it, the Strucker phrasing is, he'll make time for you. So it's almost like them being recruited at the very beginning.
Yes.
Like, he'll make time for you, he'll make you feel special, and then, like, give you horribly painful powers. Probably. I don't know how it works. Probably wasn't fun.
Okay, well, I think that's it. Sorry, this is a really long episode because we're talking about so much, but episode 5 will definitely be a lot shorter, I promise, guys.
Yes.
So, thank you for watching, and that's all for this episode of The Marvel Bunch.
And we will see you next time. Bye, guys!
Bye!
Bye!